Reading from the Jiva Dharma. Let me see what chapter it is. Chapter 31, Madhurya Ras, Vakya and Parakya. Omigamitimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Taksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam. Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kutashindu Bhayevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadevor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Welcome at the Bhakti Center. I'm teaching at Yogamaya in the morning today for 4 hours. Yoga Sutras, and then on Friday in the morning for 4 hours. Some summary of Bhakti and yeah. So, we're following Vijay and Vajranath, two souls coming to Krishna consciousness. I believe now they're in Puri, and they're taking shelter of Gopal Guru Goswami, who is a disciple of Vakreshwara Pandit, who was associate of Sarup Damodar, who was the most confidential associate, one of the most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through this particular line, one of the lines of Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service, was disseminated. And somehow they're asking him about Ras Tattva, and now he's describing Madhurya Ras. And he was describing the Vibhav Alamban Vishaya, the basis of that love, which is Krishna, as a teenager who is the object of that type of love. Of course, the Ashraya, the subject of that love, is the gopis and the queens of Dwarka. And now, they're discussing the two types of conjugal love. One is swakya and one is parakya. Swakya means to do with your own. That's to be the wife of Krishna, and parakya with another, which means the gopis, the parakya with another. Not your wife, but love with another that's not your wife. A very difficult subject to understand. In fact, the subject we're now discussing, which seems to be pretty much right now a summary of Bhujwala Dilavari by Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is incorporating it into the text of this novel, of this dialogue. It's quite a high subject. I wouldn't start with this subject, but as we decided to discuss the Jiva Dharma, we were doing it for a few years, naturally, over the, I don't know how many years, but now we're up to this naturally in our reading. And we're getting near the end of the book, so we might as well finish it.
As almost predicted,
I don't know, there's not that many people interested. The subject is a little esoteric. So Vijay asking Gopal Guru Goswami, what are the symptoms of Swakya? Goswami, a chaste woman who has been married according to the regulative principles and was always absorbed in following the orders of her husband is called Swakya. Who are the Swakya and who are the Parakya for Sri Krishna? The married ladies of Dwarka are Swakya and the young gopis of Vraja are mainly Parakya. Vijay, where are these two types of consort situations in the Aprakat Leela? In the unmanifested Leela of Krishna. Goswami, this is a very confidential subject. You should know that the domain of the Paratattva compromise, Paratattva means the supreme truth, comprises four quarters. Three quarters is of opulence, vibhuti, or manifest in the spiritual realm, and one quarter is in the mundane realm. Thus, the entire realm of Maya, consisting of 14 planetary systems, is situated in one quarter of his vibhuti. You know, these things are unlimited, so it's hard to quantify them. But still, the concept of what is it, Trikala vibhuti, the spiritual world being three quarters, the material world being one quarter, even the concept that we're in the material world, and this world is not a significant portion of the Paratattva, where we think our own lives are the all in all. So that itself is humbling. The river Viraja lies between the material and spiritual world, the world of Maya being situated on this side of it, and the spiritual world on the other side. That's a description. It's a reality, even though the distance between us and God is never measured in just miles. It's measured in faith and consciousness. Prabhadam, which is composed of effulgence, surrounds the spiritual world. Chit Jagat on all sides. Apart from that, when one penetrates beyond the Viraja, the spiritual sky, Parvyoma, is seen as the Samvyoma Rup Vaikuntha. So in the spiritual world, first there is Vaikuntha. There Aishwarya is prominent, and Narayan reigns as the Lord of Lords, attended by his unlimited transcendental shaktis. Wow. So, first is Aikunta and God's Aishwarya or majesty is manifest, and he himself manifests in majesty as Narayan, the Lord of all Lords. He's attended by all his shaktis or potencies. In Vaikuntha, Bhagavan has svakiras, means conjugal love is the mood of marriage with God, and the Shri, Bhu, and Nila shaktis serve him as svakiya consorts. Above Vaikuntha loves Goloka. In Vaikuntha, the Swakya consorts of the city remain absorbed in their respective appropriate services. In Goloka, the young ladies of Braja serve Krishna in their particular rasa. Now, Vijay, to get clarification on this, will ask further. If Golok is Krishna's highest dham, then why have the wonderful glories of Vraja been extolled? I'm going to read that again, and I'll only be able to comment on it once the answer is there. If Goloka is Krishna's highest dham, then why have the wonderful glories of Vraja been extolled? So that means there's a distinction between Goloka and Vraja. Places such as Vraja, Gokul, and Vrindavan are within Sri Mathura Mandala. Mathura Mandala and Goloka are non-different from each other, Advaita Tattva. When this one phenomenon is situated in the highest realm of the Jagat, it is known as Goloka, and when it is manifest within when this phenomena is situated in the highest region of the Chit-Jagat, it is known as Goloka. And when it is manifested within the material universe, it is known as Mathura Mandala. Thus, it is celebrated simultaneously in these two sarups. Wow, I didn't study this beforehand. I have to look at this. I'm very sorry. So it's saying Goloka is in the Chit-Jagat, the spiritual world, and when it is manifest within the material world, it is known as Mathura Mandala. Thus is celebrated simultaneously in these two sarupas. So the spiritual world is in the Chit-Jagat, the spiritual world, but it's also manifest in the material world, and when it's manifest in the material world, he's saying it's known as Mathura Mandala. And within that Mathura Mandala, Vraja, Gokul, and Vrindavan are within that. Let's go on, hopefully, more clarification. How is that possible? I don't understand. Goswami, such phenomena are possible only by Krishna's Achintya Shakti. All the activities within the jurisdiction of Achintya Shakti are beyond comprehension and argument. That eternal abode of Goloka is called Mathura Dham in the Prakat Leela within the world of gross elements, and this very same place is called Goloka in a Prakat Leela. Krishna's transcendental pastimes are eternal, and Goloka is eternally manifest in the Nitya Jagat. Those who have become eligible to have darshan of the pure spiritual substance see Goloka. Not only that, but they can have darshan of Goloka in Gokul itself. However, the jeev whose intelligence is material cannot attain the darshan of Goloka. Even though Gokul is Goloka, jeeva with mundane intelligence see Gokul as an ordinary place within this material world consisting of the five gross elements. So somehow, Gokul refers to the spiritual world in when it manifests in the material world, like when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. And it's referred to as Goloka in the spiritual world, but within Gokula, you can see Goloka if you're qualified. So it's very... But anyway... Gokul is when Krishna manifests in this world. Goloka is his eternal abode. What is the qualification to have darshan of Goloka? Sri Jiva Goswami has said, Ite sanchintya bhagavan maha karunaka vibhu darshiyam asa swam lokam gopanam tamasa param satyam jnanam anantam yad brahma jyoti sanatanam yad hi pasyanti munayo gunapaye samahita Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-15. Although the gopis are eternally perfect, they nonetheless descend to this world as assistants in Krishna's pastimes. The sadhana siddha gopis were followers of those nitya siddha gopis. The sadhana siddha gopis thought, due to ignorance, the jivas in this world identify themselves with their material bodies. Thus, they are hankering at many types of desires, and they engage in various types of work in order to fulfill them. As a result, they wander aimlessly, accepting repeated birth in higher and lower species. We are also engaged in the same activity. Considering this, the greatly compassionate Bhagavan Sri Krishna, who has inconceivable majestic opulence, granted to those gopas darshan of his param dham, the lok, which is beyond the dense darkness of maya. The variety in that dham is eternal, absolute reality, full of unlimited spiritual pastimes. That dham is eternally self-illuminated with effulgence of Brahman and is perceived by the host of sages and sadhakas through trance in the stage beyond the influence of the three gunas. So what is the qualification to have this darshan of Golok? So he, Gopal Guru Goswami quotes from the Bhagavatam, goes beyond the influence of the three gunas. They can see it. Prabhu, one cannot have darshan of Golok without Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy bestowed upon the Vrajavasis and granted them darshan of Golok. This Goloka is the excellent transcendental abode beyond material nature, and its variegatedness is the embodiment of eternal truth and endless spiritual pastimes. The spiritual fulgence of the Brahma Jyoti exists there eternally as the brilliant radiance, Prabha, of his limbs. When the sadhaka is free from all mundane connections with matter, he can have darshan of that special tattva. Vijay, can all liberated personalities have darshan of Golok? Goswami, even among millions of liberated souls, a bhakta of Bhagavan is very rare. In the Brahma Dham, the jivas who become liberated by the practice of the Sangha Yoga and Brahma Gyan enjoy forgetfulness of the self. Just as a man in a state of deep sleep, Sushupti, remains completely inactive, being bereft of power to perceive, to understand, to desire, and so forth. Similarly, the jivas who attain Brahma Dham are oblivious to their own atma, so they remain inanimate lumps. So that's impersonal liberation, as being described. So, become liberated by Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga, then you can merge and you can forget your own atma. What to speak of them? Even bhaktas absorbed in Aishwarya cannot see Golok. Bhaktas with the mood of Aishwarya render service to an opulent form of the Lord in Vaikuntha, according to the respective bhavas. Even one who engages in Krishna Bhajan and Vrajaras can only have darshan of Golok if he is so fortunate Krishna bestows his mercy upon him and releases him from the mayas and this bondage. So he asks, you know, how can one be qualified to Golok? And not even all liberated personalities, because those who have Brahma Gyan and they achieve a perfect liberation, they can't. And even those who have the mood of Aishwarya, they can't also. And even those who are engaged in Krishna Bhajan in Brajaraj, Raghunuga Bhakti can only have darshan if Krishna bestows his maya upon, his mercy upon them. Vijay, well, if only this type of liberated bhaktas can see Golok, why has Golok been described in shastras such as Sri Brahma Samhita, Hari Vamsa, and the Padma Purana? Krishna's mercy is only available through Braja Bhajan. What was the point of mentioning Golok? Why mention it if you can't really understand or attain it? Goswami, those Vraja Ratika Bhaktas whom Krishna elevates to Golok from this world of five gross elements can see Golok completely. Furthermore, Sadaka Bhaktas in Vraja Bhav can also see Golok to a certain extent. There are two types of Bhaktas, Sadaka and Siddha. Sadakas are not qualified to see Golok. Again, there are two types of Siddha Bhaktas, namely Vastu Siddha Bhaktas and Sarup Siddha Bhaktas. Vastu Siddha Bhaktas are brought directly to Goloka by Krishna's mercy, where Sarup Siddha Bhaktas see the Sarup of Golok, but they are still situated in the material existence, Prapancha, and not directly in Golok. So even those that are perfect as Sarup Siddha and Vastu Siddha. Sarup Siddha is you have a vision of it, but you don't actually attain it. Vastu Siddha is the substance of it itself you attain. And including your own reality, your own form, you get the substance of it. Well, Sarup Siddha, you're still envisioning it. The Sarup is still within the material world. By Krishna's mercy, their eyes of bhakti are in the process of gradually opening. Thus, there are many grades of eligibility in this group. Some see a little, some see more, and others still see more. To the extent this Krishna is merciful for them, they will see Golok. This is Sarup Siddha Bhakti. You attain vision of who you are and vision of Golok. You're not really situated there, so your perception of it still is very much dependent on Krishna granting you the vision to do so. As long as they're in the stage, the sadhana stage of bhakti, whatever darshan they attain of Gokul is tinged with some mayaka bhav. After crossing the stage of sadhana and reaching the level of bhav, their darshan is somewhat pure. And when they arrive at the stage of prema, they begin to have darshan to the fullest extent. Vijay, in what respects are Goloka and Braja different from each other? Goswami, everything that one sees in Braja is present in Goloka, but the various aspects appear somewhat different because of differences in the nishtha of the observer. In fact, there is no difference between Golok and Vrindavan. They appear differently to different observers depending on their different vision. Extremely ignorant people see everything in Vraj as material, because it means Vraj is how Krishna manifests here, or Gokul. The vision of a person in Rajaguna is somewhat more auspicious. Is somewhat more auspicious compared to this. Those who are in ignorance. Those who are situated in Satyaguna have darshan of Shuddha Sattva according to their ability to see. Everyone's vision is different according to their adhikari. Vijay Prabhu, I have some realization, but will you kindly give an example to clarify the subject matter? A material object cannot serve as a complete example to illustrate spiritual subjects, but still, even a partial identification can give rise to full realization. So, Vijay is saying, I have some realization, but I need an example. Goswami, this is a very difficult problem. We are forbidden to reveal our own confidential realizations to others. When you also have some confidential realization by Krishna, you should always keep it hidden. I've explained this subject to you only as far as our previous acharyas have revealed it. By Krishna's mercy, you're able to see the rest yourself. So I'll just tell you what's in the Shastra, but to really see it, you have to realize it. Deception in Golok is purely spiritual. There's not a slightest tinge of material perception. To nourish Ras there, the Chit-Shakti has manifested varieties of Bhav in many places. And amongst them, there is one spiritual conception known as Abhiman. For instance, Krishna has no beginning and no birth in Golok, but to assist the Leela, Patsalya Ras is personified there by the conception Abhiman in the spiritual existence of fatherhood and motherhood in the forms of Nanda and Yasoda. So perception is purely spiritual, but the Chit Shakti has manifest Abhiman, particular conceptions in people. Even though Krishna is the supreme absolute controller, people have the Abhiman of fatherhood and motherhood, like Nanda and Yasoda. Again, wonderful varieties of Shringaras, such as separation, Vipralamba, and meeting together Sambhog, exist in this conception, Abhiman form. Well, the actual situation in Parakya Bhav is Shuddha Svakya, the self-conception, Abhiman, of Paramour, beloved, and Paramour are eternally present in it. So it's completely pure. But you get this Abhiman because it's Shuddha Svakya, because actually everyone belongs to Krishna. So there's nothing illegitimate or illegal about it. But for the sake of Ras, this conception is given. And he says, just see, all these Abhimans are completely convincing in Vraja, for they are exhibited in a gross outward form by the potency of Yoga Maya. For example, in Vraja, Yasoda labels to give birth to Krishna in her maternity room, and the Nityasiddha Gopis have a Parakya Abhiman that arises from their marriages to husbands, such as Abhimanya and Govardhan. In other words, the Abhiman, or conception of Golok, are all visible in Vraj in very tangible forms, which are managed by Yoga Maya from the exceedingly subtle original reality. There is not even the slightest trace of falsity in Vraj, and it resembles Golok in all its respects. Differences in vision arise only according to the degree of material obstruction of the observer. I'll read one more. Vijay, then one should meditate on the appropriate aspects of the Astaka Leela by proper deliberation. And now should I meditate on Krishna's pastimes during different times of the day? Goswami, no, it is not like that. One who has darshan of Vraja Leela should remember Astaka Leela according to his realization by Krishna's mercy. The Leela manifests itself in the sadhana's heart through the power of his bhajan. It is not necessary to try to improve the bhavas of the Leela by one's own endeavors. So we can't impose our own conceptions on this. It's something that has to be manifest from a much higher standpoint. Vijay, we'll do one more. Yajasi bhavana yasya bhavati tajas. According to this logic, the perfection that one attains corresponds exactly to the type of meditation performed, the type of sadhana. So it seems that one must be performed purified, immaculate meditation on Golok. Goswami, what you are saying is correct. All the perceptions in Vraja are pure reality. And not even a single one is contrary to this. Otherwise, there would be a fault. Perfection occurs when sadhana becomes pure, and the purer one's meditation is at the time of sadhana, the faster one attains siddha. You should endeavor in such a way that your sadhana may be accomplished beautifully. But still, it is beyond your power to purify your sadhana. Only Krishna, through his achintya shakti, can do this. So by your effort, you can never get it, but your effort can attract Krishna's mercy, and then it can be purified. If you try to do it yourself, you become entangled in the thorny thickets of Gyan, but if Krishna bestows his mercy, there will be no injurious result. You know, I did a codicy, and actually, really, near job, so I'm a little tired. So we'll have to end a little bit early, but if anyone likes to say hello, they may, and then we'll end for the day. Thank you. Anybody say hello? Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna. So...
Yeah, okay, one question, Gail. One question, Gail.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I understand, I've understood for a long time that Goloka is the spiritual world in the spiritual world, and Gokula is manifest here.
Right.
But what I didn't understand is the distinction between those two and Vraja.
It wasn't clear here, so I'm not sure myself, but it seemed that he was relating Vraja only to Gokul. And to confirm that, I'd have to do further research. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll end here for today. Bunch of hope to do research.